From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell, opening the program with The Devil and Mr. O, reissues of classic Lights Out radio dramas, originally airing in the early 1940s on CBS, all of them penned by Arch Obler, repackaged with updated commentary from Mr. O, and released for syndication in the early 70s. This broadcast, released for syndication October 29th, 1971, it's titled Ancestor.
Lights out for the devil and Mr. O. Supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly so that if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly but sincerely to turn off your radio now. This is Mr. O. Arch Obler. The story you're about to hear is a ghost story, pure and simple, if ghost stories can ever be pure and simple. Most of all, this play concerns itself with evil and evil men. It's strange, isn't it? We've solved the fantastic problems of splitting the atom, of accurately directing spaceships millions of miles across space, and yet the problem of evil men hasn't changed since Cain and Abel. I give you, then, Ancestor, after a message from your station.
Inner Sanctum Mystery.
Hello, this is your host, welcoming you through the squeaking door. Not for a half hour of terror, but to tell you about Radio Nostalgia Magazine. Radio Nostalgia Magazine is a must for old-time radio fans. It's the magazine with many photos and stories of old-time radio and its stars. Our current issue features a 16-page article on The Shadow. All subscribers will get a free Captain Midnight decoder badge, a Captain Midnight Flight Patrol membership, and a Flight Commander certificate from the Secret Squadron. To get your copy, send $1.50 in check or money order to Radio Nostalgia, Box 8007R, Union City, New Jersey, 07087. That's Radio Nostalgia, Box 8007R, Union City, New Jersey, zip 07087. Send now and get a free 8x10 photo of the Lone Ranger and Tonto, boys and girls.
And now, if you haven't already done so, turn off your lights now and listen to Ancestor.
You know, Al, I kind of wish I had a book.
Huh? What do you say?
I said I wish I had a book.
Yeah?
Well, I tell you, I do.
What do you want with a book?
What do you think? To throw it at your fat head.
Don't get so funny.
Sitting here in this lousy shack hour after hour, waiting. I tell you, it's enough to drive a man crazy.
What's the matter, Professor? You begin to remember those three guys you'll knock off in Frisco?
Shut up. Shut your face. Shut up.
A guy like you got too much reading in your head and not enough money inside where it counts. You never get no place in the rocket.
I'll get as far as you will, you cold-blooded...
Shut your mouth. What you need is a ball. You bet your life. Yes, sir, I tell you this, you
wait.
Know...
Huh? Listen.
What's the matter with you?
I thought I heard...
Heard what?
I thought I heard outside. Maybe we had a...
Oh, stay where you are. I'll go. Heard something. Nobody there.
I thought I heard...
You hear nothing, see nothing.
I suppose not.
You got the jitters you're trying to give them to me, eh?
I tell you, I thought I heard something.
Well, stop thinking. This place is perfect hideout. Nobody know about it but you and me and Duke.
Duke, when the devil's he?
Don't worry, Duke will get here.
But will he?
What do you mean, will he?
That's a lot of dough, $50,000.
Oh, you think maybe Duke will pull a double cross, eh?
I'm not saying he will. I'm just saying that $50,000 is a lot of money.
Listen, 10 years in Alcatraz. I was in same cell block as Duke. You know that?
Well?
Well, I get to know that guy inside and out. I know every idea he got in his head.
And I suppose double-crossing isn't among those ideas, eh?
Listen, Duke is one strong guy, see? Lots of muscle, lots of nerve. One tough guy. He got so much nerve and so much muscle, there ain't no room for the double-cross.
Yes, I suppose you're right.
Sure I'm right. I'm always right. That's why you and me and Duke is in the big door now. I'm always right. And just because I'm right, in a little while, we three are going to have another 50 grand to split up, see? How do you like that, Professor?
Splitting up dough, I always like that.
Sure, I never seen nobody like the dough the way you do. I bet you still got the first dollar you ever make in the rocket, huh?
Wait.
What's the matter now? You got the jumps again?
No. Listen.
Oh, that's just the dame.
Oh, yeah.
She got a lot of whips in her, eh, Professor?
3 days.
Yeah, a lot of good he's going to do as soon as the Duke gets here, eh, Professor? A lot of good is going to do with that soap stuff. A lot of good.
I got to stop crying. I got to. My eyes, day after day. How many days has it been so dark in here? If I could only have a little light, just a little. I got to stop crying. I got to think. What's the use of thinking? They'll kill me. They'll kill me. I know they will if they'd only listen to me. I don't want to die. I don't want to die.
Crying. That dame's making me sick. Why doesn't she stop? Been going on like that for days.
Don't worry, Professor. She stopped crying pretty soon. You bet your life. You wait till Duke gets here with her 50 grand.
Yeah? And maybe he won't.
Oh, what do you mean he won't? The boss said he pays 50 grand for knocking off this double-crossing dame. And 50 grand is what we're going to get.
50 grand?
Yeah, and a cheap at the price. Say, if that dame blew off her mouth like she says she's going to do, the boss is going up to Alcatraz for 20 years. 50 grand for saving 20 years out of a guy's life. Plenty cheap, I bet you life.
But that dame, she's got a lot of friends.
What difference that make to us? Nobody ever tied us up with the others we knock off for boss before, do they?
No.
You leave it to the Duke. He's one smart guy. When he find the shack over the river, he find a gold mine. You knock him on the head, you drop him in the river, under the ground they go. They never come up again, you bet you lie.
Yes, that's true. They never do come up, do they?
No, not in 1,000 years. The river on this ground, she runs deep and fast. Nobody we ever throw in ever come up again. Nobody.
When I press my ear against the wall, I can hear the water running like it was a river under the ground. There used to be a river near the house when I was a little girl. I used to play near the water, and there was sun and light. I gotta see the light again. I gotta. How long have I been here? I never see anybody. I never hear them. Just the water running far below. No, I won't listen anymore. If they'd only let me talk to them, if they'd only let me make a deal, I wouldn't testify against them. I wouldn't. I want to live. I gotta live. Oh, I'm so scared. I can't be scared. If I start being scared, I'll go on getting more and more scared. I'll begin to see things in the dark. The dark is full of awful things. No, I mustn't think of it. I'll go crazy thinking. I mustn't be scared. I mustn't be scared.
Okay, Professor, a 4 for you and 1 for me. Read them and weep.
2 pair, kings up, huh?
You betcha.
Wait a minute, hands off the cash, pal.
Huh?
Read these cards and weep.
Son of a gun, 3 queens.
Thank you.
He draw 4 cards, he gets 3 queens. Hey, you got a luck.
Have I?
Sure. Meeting up with me and Duke.
Duke, where in the devil is he?
Oh, you start that again. I tell you, Duke, get here. 1 o'clock. That's 3 more hours.
Yeah, but what if he doesn't get here?
Oh, I told you before, the dame goes in the river, we scrum out of here.
But Duke said not to touch her until he got here.
Yeah, but me, I ain't taking no chances waiting around there anymore. Only time dames, they don't talk is when they're under the ground or under the river.
Yeah.
3 hours from now, if the Duke come back with the boss's door or not, in the river that dame goes, and that's that. And that river, she cover up everything. Everything. You betcha.
So
thought I was smart. Smart getting into the racket. Easy money. Yeah, smart. And now they're going to kill me. Oh, my head, it hurts so. I must be going crazy. No, I mustn't think like that. It's so quiet in here. If I could only hear someone saying something, saying anything, I wouldn't feel as if I was going crazy. I wouldn't think that all the world is dead and I'm alone. I hear something. No, it can't be. I hear voices, people, they've come to help me. Listen, everybody. Listen, here I am in here. Listen to me, help me, help! They've gone. There's nobody. In my head, it was all in my head. I'm going crazy. I am. Oh, help me, somebody, help me. I gotta get out of here where it's light, where the sun's shining. Listen to me, somebody. I'm going crazy here in the dark. Help me. Help me. Help me.
I will. I will.
Voice. I hear it again in my head.
I will help thee, my lady.
No. There's nobody here.
I tell thee I will help, my lady.
There's nobody here. I know there isn't. No door open, no light.
I come to thee from darkness.
But there's nobody here. I know it. I know it. The place is so small. You're not here. We're here. We're here. No. There's no one. No one.
I tell thee I will help thee.
But I hear that voice so clear.
Look before thee, my lady. The fear should not be thine.
I can't quite make out who... Who are you?
My name, perhaps thou hast heard the name before, is Philippe de Martival.
Philippe de...
Senses have left her. Better so. There's bloody work to do.
We leave our The Devil and Mr. O story of ancestor for a short message.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the ocean water, this land was made for you and me.
America, the greatest nation on earth. But as our country continues to grow, it must face the problems of expansion, such as the now ominous shortages of fuel and energy. There are ways you can help conserve these vital resources, both at home and on the job. Reduce thermostat settings by 2 or 3 degrees. Shut off lights and heat in rooms not in use. And reduce the consumption of electricity in late afternoon or evening. Remember, in conserving fuel and energy, you help yourself and your community.
This land was made for you and me.
Public service message is presented by the President's Office of Emergency Preparedness and the Office of Consumer Affairs.
And now, back to our The Devil and Mr. O story of Ancestor.
What's the matter, Professor? You think you're going to find nerve in the bottle?
And drink what I please.
Okay.
He said he'd be here by 1 o'clock.
He will.
It's half an hour to one now.
So there's still a half hour.
Something went wrong.
I mean, there's something wrong in your head. Duke will be here. I bet you $10,000 on that.
But 1 o'clock?
It's 30 minutes from now, so shut up your face and quit squawking. You're making me sick.
Al, wait. Where are you going?
Out to the road. Too much yelling here.
Al, wait. Don't go. You greasy rack you're running out on me? I haven't got nerve, huh? Got nerve for anything as long as there's money in it. Said I could never make money, huh? I'll show them $500,000. Well, $500,000 by the time I quit this lousy racket. $500,000, I'll be able to buy anything from... Blasted clock. What time? 1:45. 15 more minutes. He's got to get here. He's got to. If he doesn't, Al'll want me to help him kill her. And... What's the matter with me? Duke will get here. He always gets here. Sure. He'll do the job. Duke likes killing. Cold. The door must be... No, the door's closed. Al must have come in. Al, is that you?
De Martaval.
Huh?
De Martaval.
Who said that?
I
see no one.
I am here.
You? You're where?
The coldness at thy side.
Oh, that bottle. I've had too much yet. That's it. Too much. I...
Weak. I worm-like thing.
And voice I do hear. Blasted bottle. Put voices in my head, will you? Not mine, not mine, not mine.
Pray to thy God.
Huh?
I did hear. I heard. Pray to thy God.
There is someone here. I can't see you, but you are here, aren't you?
I came back in her agony.
I hear you, and yet you aren't here. Oh, what's wrong with me? Things are what they are. There's no one who can talk without being.
Use your eyes to see.
Huh? What? Oh. Yes, I see you. You've been hiding. My eyes, they... Yes, I see you. Tell me, what do you want? Who are you? How did you get in here?
Out of the darkness, through her agony.
Darkness? Agony? What are you talking about? Oh, my eyes, I can hardly see you. Blurred.
I weary of you.
Weary of me? What? What's that? Something in your hand? Yes, I see it. It's getting clearer and clearer. Oh, how can that be? A bow. A bow? What are you going to do with it?
I fit the arrow.
No, don't draw it back. Stop pointing that thing at me, the arrow. It might...
Done. The worm no longer squirms.
Hey, Professor, I think the Duke is coming. I begin to see the headlights of a car down the road about a mile away. Hey, Professor, what's the matter? You don't...
Well, if he ain't here, eh, Professor? In the other room, I bet you, hiding under the bed. Well, I think I go in and... And that's what's the use.
What? The... Wind? The door, she's shut.
What's the matter with me? Me, I don't get the jumps. I'm afraid of nothing.
Hey, Professor, come on out of that room there. Wake up, I want to talk to you.
There is little time for talk.
Who said that? Professor, that you? Oh, yeah, I see you. What for, you hide on the floor? Come on, you get up. Get up or I kick your face in. Come on, get up.
Professor, who do that to you?
To Martaval.
Stand where you are.
Yes.
I got a gun on you. Stand still or I kill you.
Yes.
All right, now, wise guy. I gotta find out what you look like. Come on in closer to the light.
No.
Listen, smart guy. I don't know how you get in here. I don't know what your racket is. But you listen to me. My name is Al Cerlotti. Maybe you hear that name before, huh?
No.
No, yes. Talk words. Who are you? What are you doing here? Come on across to the light.
I grow weary.
You grow what? What are you talking about? Come on closer to the light, I tell you. Oh, now, keep your hands up. Up, I tell you. What do you think you're doing? Keep them up. I tell you, you're crazy. I got a gun on you. I'll blow you full of holes. What's the thing you got in your hand? Drop it, I tell you. Drop it. Okay.
You're still standing there.
Meet thy God.
Meet my... What's the matter with you?
What are you set up for? Who are you?
I get it. You got a bulletproof vest on, eh? Okay, wise guy, you ain't got no vest on your head. I'm gonna blow...
No, wait. What you doing? Wait a minute. Put down that...
So, the worm, the rat, one more.
Open up in there. It's Duke. Open up. It's about time you guys woke up. Well, what's the matter with you guys? Why don't you put on some light?
Put on some light?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I said. Lights. Al, where are you?
Me, I'm here.
What's the matter with you guys? Saving dough and kerosene or something? Come on, come on. Light the lamps.
We can see.
Oh, yeah? Since one of you guys owls. Now quit the gagging and put on some lights. We got to work fast.
It is time.
Oh, yeah, that's what you think. We got to knock off that dame and get out of here quick.
There is time.
What are you guys doing? Putting on a brother act? I say we got to get out of here quick. And I mean quick. Well, maybe you guys want to fry in the chair, but I don't.
There is a
time. Stop saying that. What's the matter with you guys?
There is time.
Oh, I get it. You've been pouring the stuff down here, the both of you. Why, you're so stiff, you don't know whether you're coming or going.
Coming or going?
You lousy rats. I ought to blow the both of you apart. Me, I'm doing all the work. And what are you guys doing? Filling your insides full of cheap liquor like a couple of bindle stiffs. Now, come on, come on. Get out your rod and let's get this over with.
Get this over with?
Yeah, yeah, over with the dame. We got to get rid of her quick.
Rid of her quick?
Stop jabbering every word I say back at me, you hopheads. The boss gave me the dough, 50 grand. Now, we got to get that dame into the river and quick.
Dame?
Yeah, dame. That squealing, double-crossing dame. Maybe you guys don't remember why we came out here. Maybe you think you came out here for a gin party, huh? Now, come on, Al. Come on. Get out your gat and let's get going and get rid of that twist.
No.
No? What do you mean, no? Say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You guys can't be that drunk. You're up to something. All right. Let's have it. Let's have it. Well, let's have it. What are you up to? What are you trying to pull? Come on, let's have a light in here. I see what you mugs are looking like. Well, are you deep? Are you deep? Light a candle.
Light?
Okay, I'll light one myself. But I'm warning you, mugs, don't start nothing. My rod works in the dark just as well as yours. Where's that candle? Well, answer me, where's the candle? Okay, just wait till I get a light. I'll make you guys talk. Yeah, here it is. Match. Yeah. There. Now... Now I'm going to see what's eating you guys. Okay, now, Al, I want you... Al. How will I... Oh, dear. There you are. What are you doing standing there against the wall? Yeah, and you, Professor. What's the matter with you guys? Why don't you say something? Well, quit staring at me without saying nothing. Okay, I'll come over there, and I'll show you... Al. Professor... Throats. Who did it to you, Al? Who did it? What?
The Martival.
Who said that? Answer me, who said that?
I
see you standing there. I see you. You did this to Al and the professor. You did it.
I...
Why? Why did you do it? Now, stand where you are. I got a gat on you. Now, talk fast or I'll blow you apart. Come on, tell me why you did it.
I came through her agony out of the darkness.
What? What'd you say?
When you die, I return.
I die? You expect to knock me off too, huh? Stay where you are. Stay where you are, I tell you. There. That'll stop you. You're going to kill me too, huh? Well, why don't you do it now? Huh. You're still standing there. I shot you. You're dead. Like they're dead. But they talked to me when I came in before. And they must have been dead then. How could they have... No. No, stay back, I tell you. You're dead. And they're dead. And the dead don't talk. Don't move. What are you pointing at me? What are you going to do with that thing? Don't point it at me. I ain't done nothing. I ain't...
Duke, Al, whoever else is in there, you haven't got a chance. Come on, out of me coming in now. All right, boys, come on.
Careful, boys. There they are. Put them up, you. Put them up.
Chief, what is it?
What?
Look at them.
Ooh. Dead. All three of them. And each with an arrow through his throat.
Doctor, how is she?
It's all right, Mr. Myers. Your daughter's going to be all right. Nothing physically wrong.
Thank heaven.
It was most fortunate the police got there when they did. Another few hours in the horror of that darkness and her mind... Well, I repeat, it was most fortunate.
But I heard through the door.
You're referring to her cries. Let me assure you that it's nothing. It was nothing but hysteria, a reaction to her horrible experience, that's all. But she'll be all right, you can believe me.
My poor little Ruthie. I hadn't seen her for years. And to find her again this way.
Mr. Martyrs, there's something I would like to ask you, if you don't mind.
Not at all. What is it, Doctor?
In her hysteria, your daughter kept repeating a name. I've been wondering whether you can think of any reason for her saying it.
Name? Name? What name?
She kept saying it over and over again. I'm not quite sure, but I think it was... Yes, it was... Philippe de Martival.
Philippe de Martival?
Yes. Could he have had anything to do with what took place?
Well, no, of course not. Philippe de Martival was an ancestor of mine, lived back in the days of the Norman Conquest, over 850 years ago. Oh, no. He had nothing to do with all this.
Mr. Owekane, question, do I believe in ghosts? Well, I'll tell you what I believe in. Nothing in nature is lost. You burn a match and it's not destroyed. It's simply transformed into another form. The human spirit on death, the consciousness, all else, what becomes of them? The Orthodox religions have one answer, the non-believer another. But no matter what you believe, remember this. Nothing in the universe is ever truly destroyed, just transformed into another form. Could that form, under unusual circumstances, be what we term a ghost? I don't know. But I do know about our next week's story, after a short message.
So, Mr. President, what does it mean to say love makes all things new again?
Love makes all things new again? Well, you see, if somebody's down in the dumps, that means they're very sad. I'd say, I care about you. And then they go, pee-yo!
Why is that?
Well, when a person knows somebody cares about him, they just feel great. They go, pee-yo!
Oh, I see.
No, that's the same thing as love.
What's the same thing as love?
Caring about people.
Well, suppose there were two people down in the dumps, Mr. President.
Oh. I just say, I care about you, I care about you, and go pew, pew.
Suppose 200 million Americans were down in the dumps, Mr. President.
I'd say, I care about you, 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 I care about you.
Love makes all things new again.
Hey, what was that?
Another sound of love from the Franciscans.
This is Arch Obler again. Were you ever a boy or girl scout on a nature study trip? That's what our play is about next time, only our people aren't children. They're a very special breed of very special human adults. But that's next time in Nature Study.
It's the Upstate Radio Theater. This is show number 1618. I'm Jake Longwell. Up next, an episode of the long-running crime drama This Is Your FBI. From August 16th of 1946 on ABC, it's The Friendly Hitchhiker.
The Equitable Life Assurance Society presents This Is Your FBI. This Is Your FBI, An official broadcast from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, presented as a public service by the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States and the Equitable Society's representative in your community. Are you one of the 50 million Americans covered by Social Security? If so, have you any clear idea of your rights and benefits under Social Security? Well, there may be a pleasant surprise in store for you. For in a few minutes, you will learn from our sponsor, the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States, how easy it is to build Social Security into full security. Tonight's FBI file, The Friendly Hitchhiker.
One of the outstanding characteristics of the average American is a natural friendliness toward the stranger. Now, this is an admirable trait. And certainly, in general, it is one to be preserved and encouraged. But unfortunately, there are a great many persons at large who make criminal capital of friendliness. And there are many occasions, such as in tonight's case from the files of your FBI, when it is wise to avoid the stranger altogether. Already the prairie growth was beginning to take on the first tints of a Texas panhandle sunset. And as the young man in the sailor suit trudging along the highway with his battered suitcase, it looked as if night would catch him still some 50 miles from his goal, Amarillo. Unless this car that's coming down the highway stops.
All right, Tom, will you stop?
Going east, sailor?
Yes, sir.
Then get aboard, son.
Gee, thanks. I was afraid you were going to plow right on by.
I didn't notice your uniform until I was right on you.
Well, some people stop for it, some don't. I guess you can't blame anybody for not wanting to take a chance on a hitchhiker.
How far are you coming from, sailor?
Well, I just got my discharge in California the other day. Been in the hospital out there.
Yeah, I guess that means you earned one of those campaign ribbons the hard way.
Huh. Wasn't as hard for me as it was for some of the other fellows, though.
Where are you bound?
Amarillo.
Well, so am I.
No kidding.
Is that home?
Yes, sir. My uncle has a place outside of town. He's a retired rancher.
I see. Well, now that you're out of the Navy, what are you going to do?
Well, I got to go to work. Say, you haven't got a job for me, have you?
I'm afraid a young fellow with your experiences wouldn't find my kind of business very exciting.
Well, what kind of business are you in, sir?
I pick up stocks of jewelry that small retail stores get stuck with and sell it at auction at my shop in Los Angeles.
Oh, I see.
I'm picking up some stuff in Amarillo this evening.
Uh-huh.
Oh, by the way, what's a good hotel in Amarillo?
Well, two or three good ones. Oh, but look, mister, you don't have to spend your money on a hotel.
What do you mean?
Well, you've been nice to me, give me a lift. I know my uncle will be more than glad to have you. Why don't you stay with us till you get ready to go back?
Well, no, I wouldn't want to impose.
Oh, you don't impose on people in Texas by staying with them, mister. You'll make them very happy. And besides, you'll get some real old cowhand cooking and lots of fresh air that's swell for sleeping. How about it?
Soul.
Swell.
Some 300 miles back west, and shortly before the hitchhiker was picked up, Special Agents Allen and Burnett of the FBI's Los Angeles office, engaged in a manhunt, landed at the Albuquerque airport in response to a police report. After a brief conference at police headquarters, they procured a car and drove at once to a tourist camp west of the city for a talk with the owner.
Well, gentlemen, that picture sure looks like the young fellow that stopped here last night, all right. Only he was wearing a sailor suit with a lot of ribbons.
What kind of a car was he driving, sir?
It was a black Chevy sedan, California license.
Do you remember the license number?
No, sir.
About how old was it?
Well, I'd say it was the same as my brother's got, a 42.
Well, that checks, Burnett. What name did he register under?
Jack Smith. Here it is on the register right over here. There it is. Jack Smith.
Mm-hmm. Burnett, where's that sample of Jack Newton's handwriting?
Here you are.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. I'd say it was the same writing, Alan.
Yes. May we borrow this page for a few days, sir? We'll return it to him.
Why, sure you can. His real name is Newton, huh?
Well, the man we're looking for used the name of Jack Newton.
He jumped his parole in Los Angeles 2 days ago. Got a sailor uniform, some ribbons, rented a car, and took out with it.
Well...
We put out a general police alert as soon as the car was reported missing, but we were just a little too late with it to nail him here.
Well, what time did he leave, sir?
Well, he didn't pull in till around daylight, slept till about noon, then took off.
And that gives him about a 6-hour start on us.
That's well, right. If he kept on east on this highway, he could have made Amarillo by now.
Can I use your phone, sir?
Why, certainly. Help yourself.
Well, what's our move, Alan?
We'll notify Amarillo to spread a 300-mile alarm, then head for there ourselves.
Right this way, Mr. Ogden.
Very well.
This will be your room right here, sir.
Well, thank you. I still feel that this is sort of an imposition.
Oh.
I wish you'd stop saying that, Mr. Ogden. You're going to make my uncle real sore, right, Unc?
He certainly will. You were nice enough to give my nephew a ride here. Least I can do is try to repay you for that kindness.
Well, I certainly appreciate it.
Any particular time you want to be getting up in the morning?
Yes, pretty early. I have to be in town by 9 o'clock.
Well, we'll see that you're up on time, Mr. Ogden.
Sure. That's no problem here.
Thank you.
Well, good night, sir.
Good night.
Good night, Mr. Ogden.
Good night.
Now, Jack, suppose you give me the tally on all this.
Where do we get out of range?
Okay. Now, what's the story?
Well... I landed out of L.A. 3 days ago.
Yeah?
This morning, the hot car I was driving got too hot and caught fire, so I had to hoof it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a few miles down the road, see, when this Ogden guy gives me a lift.
That's fine, but why'd you bring him here? I'm not running any tourist camp.
Let me give you the whole rundown, will you?
Well?
I pumped the guy on the way in. Found that he's a jewelry auctioneer in Los Angeles. A
legitimate businessman?
That's right.
Now, look, son... Running a hideout for you cross-country boys in trouble and taking in legits at the same time is dangerous business. I don't want
to
get...
Let me finish, will you? This guy's going into Amarillo in the morning to pick up a load of jewelry. Then he's coming back here again. Get it?
Oh.
If we can't figure out some way to split that jewelry between us, we ought to give up. Now, do you see why I brought him here?
Yeah, yeah.
Does it still bother you?
Bother me? Son, how can you say such a thing? Well, I've never entertained a more welcome guest.
Well, we've knocked off 240 miles of it, Alan.
Yeah, that leaves about 50 more to Amarillo.
I hope there's good news waiting for us.
Not much chance this soon. We didn't contact Amarillo from the tourist camp in time for them to head off Newton before he got there.
But they spread out a 300-mile alarm north, east, and south of there.
I know. Slow down, Burnett.
Huh? What for?
There's a car off the road there, up ahead.
Oh, yeah. No taillight either.
Oh. Maybe we better have a look.
You don't think we're going to find Newton parked out here?
Burnett, look. That car's been on fire.
Yeah.
Come on, let's take a look at it.
All right.
Looks pretty well burned out, too.
Yeah. Ed, you got your flash?
Yeah, right here. Hey, look at that license. That's Newton's car, all right.
And there's no one in it. This'll make Newton a little harder to find.
Well, he's still probably wearing the sailor suit, and certainly he still has the same face, hair, eyes, and build. And if he's on foot now, that could slow him down a lot.
I hope so.
He might even be somewhere around Amarillo right now. Well, let's take a quick look around here and then drive in there and find out.
What are you digging that hole for, Rock?
Looking for oil?
Son, I told you to stay in the house and keep a lookout for Ogden.
He's not back from town yet. What's with the digging?
Well, to tell you the truth, this is something special for him.
What do you mean?
Well, we can't take his jewelry and let him go, can we?
What?
That'd be all right for you, because you're pulling out, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm staked out right here, and he could have the law on me in no time.
Yeah, but if you bump him off...
Who'd ever think he was buried in the hole down back old man Fillmore's corral? I'm a respectable citizen in these parts, son.
Yeah, sure, but just the same...
Hold down. Listen. There's Ogden now. Just pulled into the drive. Come on. Let's get back to the house.
That you, Mr. Ogden?
Yes.
Jack and I is down to look after the stock a little.
Oh?
Have to treat them like babies, you know.
Yes, I'll bet you do.
Come on up to the house.
Very well.
Get your business in town taken care of all right?
Yes, all done.
You mean you got that suitcase full of jewels?
Well, not quite full.
Kind of dangerous traveling with them, I'd think. But I reckon you packed a gun with you.
Yes, but thank goodness I've never had to use it yet.
Go in, sir, go in.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Jack.
Thanks.
Well, reckon you might as well set your jewels down right here in the kitchen, Mr. Ogden.
I beg your pardon?
Look, it's me that ought to be begging your pardon instead of you begging mine. But I guess we won't make any ceremony about it.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Well, now, maybe this will be more convincing. All right, son. Take his gun off him and any identifying papers that might be in his pocket.
Yeah, sure.
I'll take a look in this suitcase. Hey, there must be a fortune in jewels in here.
No kidding.
Find his gun?
Yeah, I got it.
Let's look at all this stuff.
Unc.
Huh?
You slugged Ogden with that blackjack.
Yeah?
The cops found Ogden's gun in his hand. They might figure he shot you just before he passed out, right?
I suppose they would if that was the case, but... What do you mean, son?
I mean, this way I get all the jewels in Ogden's car, too.
No, wait a minute. You can't do it.
You know, Unc? Maybe there would have been room for both of you in that hole.
We will return in just a moment to tonight's case, which shows how your FBI helps provide national security. Now, let's listen in on a conversation about Social Security between a high-salaried executive and his friend, the Equitable Society representative.
Well, frankly, Milton, I've never given much thought to Social Security. I suppose it's a good thing for the man who earns $40, $50 a week. But when you get a lot more than that, it's pretty much small potatoes, isn't it?
I don't know, Paul. Is $8,000 small potatoes to you?
Of course not. But what's $8,000 got to do with Social Security?
Look, Paul, when you get to be 65, it will cost you $8,000 at today's rates to buy an annuity that would give you the same retirement income you'll get under Social Security. And $8,000 is a lot of money.
Well, I'll say it is. When you put it that way, Milton, Social Security is an asset to any man, whether he makes $50 a week or $500.
Yes, many Americans don't realize what a wonderful asset they have in Social Security. They have never discovered how easy it is to build Social Security into full security through life insurance. Well, that's a job that we representatives of the Equitable Society are always glad to undertake. For instance, if you already own some life insurance... Your Equitable Society representative may be able to show you how only a few dollars extra per month will give your family complete protection and assure you a comfortable retirement income through the Equitable Extended Income Plan. Remember, your Social Security benefits vary according to your age, salary, and family situation. So why not get the facts and find out exactly what you are entitled to under Social Security? The government has prepared a special card that will help you secure this information. To obtain one of these cards, get in touch with your Equitable Society representative or send your name and address on a postcard to the Equitable Society, care of this station. That's EQUITABLE, the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States. And now, back to the FBI file, The Friendly Hitchhiker.
There are hundreds of honest persons in and out of uniform, hitchhiking along the highways of America today. But the safest policy for any motorist is this. No matter when or where you see a hitchhiker's thumb, keep right on going. It may cost you no more than time to stop, but in thousands of cases, it has cost a lot more. Special Agents Allen and Burnett of the FBI had arrived at the Amarillo police headquarters when a telephone call came in from the Fillmore place just out of town. Since the message involved the man they were trailing, Allen and Burnett were given complete charge, and a few minutes later...
All right, Mr. Ogden, let's have the rest of the story, sir.
Well, when I came to, I was lying on the floor there. Not more than 3 feet from his body, and I had the pistol in my hand.
This is your pistol, Mr. Ogden?
Yes, but I swear I didn't shoot him.
Well, if you were being threatened with a blackjack, you would have been justified in defending yourself.
But there wasn't time. It all happened so quickly.
Mr. Ogden, just how were you lying on the floor when you came to, sir?
Well, I was...
You show us, if you don't mind, sir?
Of course I don't.
Thank you.
I was just about like this.
Half on your right side like that?
Yes.
And when you came to, sir, where was the pistol?
I was holding it in this... In my... Why, well, that proves I couldn't have shot him. The pistol was in my left hand.
Where is your shoulder holster placed?
Why, here. You can see for yourself, right here, under my left arm. I'm right-handed. If I had shot Fillmore, the gun would have been in my right hand.
Well, Mr. Ogden, we're not trying to pin a murder on you, sir. In your case, it wouldn't have been murder anyway. We're merely trying to establish evidence that'll help fasten the guilt on the real murderer.
It's pretty obvious what actually happened.
Yes, you see, after Fillmore struck you down, Jack Newton took your gun, shot Fillmore, put the gun in your hand, took all the jewels for himself, and escaped in your car.
But in his hurry, he made the mistake of putting the gun in your left hand.
I'm awfully glad he did.
Burnett, will you get on the phone and start telling the police about the body here?
Yeah, right.
Before you're through, I'll have Mr. Ogden's full description of his car.
Okay. Operator, give me Amarillo Police Headquarters.
And Burnett, have the police broadcast a description of Newton and the car, then set up roadblocks as quick as possible in every direction.
Hello, Headquarters?
Now, Mr. Ogden, if you'll give me a full description of your car...
Coffee, miss.
Okay. Cream and sugar?
No, just black.
Okay. There you are.
Thanks.
Would you like something with that?
Uh-uh.
The jelly donut?
I don't want nothing.
Okay. Which way are you traveling?
Why?
Making conversation.
Heading east.
Oh. Well, the reason I asked was if you're going to be on the road tonight, you'd better look out.
For what?
For what I heard on the radio.
What are you talking about?
It was an FBI broadcast.
What?
They said everybody should be on the lookout for this man that just murdered somebody in Amarillo.
They say what he looked like?
Huh? They said he was about 25 years old and had brown hair and kind of greenish eyes and might be wearing a suit.
What do I owe you?
Well, you only had coffee.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute to get some change.
Keep it.
Probably scared him. Tell him about that. Wait a minute. Brown hair, green eyes, sailors. Oh. Hey, operator. Operator.
Well, Burnett, the police have got roadblocks set up for a radius of 300 miles around Amarillo.
Good.
How's your map coming?
Well, I've got just about every roadside gas station, lunch stand, and tourist camp in the entire area staked out with these pins.
Oh, good work.
Are they going to repeat the broadcast?
Every half hour till we make a strike.
And then all we've got to do is sit right here at the phone they've assigned us and wait.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, it's been a half hour now since the third broadcast. We ought to be hearing it.
I got my fingers crossed, Alan.
Hello? Yes. Yes, well, put her on, please.
Well, who is it?
Operator, Las Vegas, New Mexico.
New Mexico?
Newton must be doubling back towards California. Hello? Hello? Yes. Oh, miss... Miss, please, talk a little louder and try not to be so excited.
All right, boys. She's all filled and ready to go. So get your trucker rolling out of here for that long haul now.
Okay. So long, Slant.
So long.
Hello.
Howdy.
I had a little trouble with my car. Broke down about 2 miles back.
I'm afraid I can't be much help to you.
Well, I didn't mean for you to go pull her in. Thought you might rent me a car to get to the next town.
Oh, there's no car here till my brother-in-law comes to relieve me in the morning.
Oh.
But I'll tell you what I'll do, son.
Well, what's that?
If you just wait right here, I'll go inside and phone for somebody to come out and get you. You just wait right out here.
Wait a minute, mister.
Well?
You're not going to phone for anybody to help me? You're going to phone for somebody to come get me, just like you said.
Huh?
You heard that radio broadcast about me, didn't you?
I don't know what
you're
talking about.
You're lying, but you're not going to trap me.
Wait! Come back here!
We're the special agents of the FBI.
Say, you fellas didn't come all the way from Amarillo since I phoned.
No, we were already on the trail and called in, got your report.
Well, he ain't missed him more than an hour, and he's on foot besides.
Good.
Which way did he go?
Well, he lit out running hard as he could down the road going west. Well,
you can't afford to keep to the road long.
No, he'd get lost out there on that desert.
A desperate man will take any kind of chance.
Of course, he might stumble onto them caves off over there.
Well, where's this, sir?
Oh, about 3 miles across the flats where the hills begin.
Burnett, let's see if we can pick up where he turned off into the desert.
Right.
If you do, you had not to have no trouble tracking him across that red sand.
That's what I figure. Come on, Burnett.
Wait a minute, Burnett.
What's the matter? We're on this trail.
Yes, but fork in the trail. One goes straight ahead into the tunnel, and the other turns off sharply to the left.
Well, let's listen and see if we can pick up a sound.
Okay. Well, he probably stopped so we couldn't hear
him. Then we'll just have to try one of these tunnels.
Yes, if we take the wrong one, he'll double back and get out.
We can't miss hearing him do it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, let's take this one to the left first.
Huh? Here it comes. We get the right one.
Come on!
Yeah. It was a
rock falling into that pool of water down below. Norton, you better give up now or you might fall in that rock down there and never get out of here.
Stay where you are, I will fall in that rock.
Don't be a fool, Norton.
I'm warning you. Don't come after me or I'll take the jump.
Norton, you heard me. Okay. What you do is up to you, Norton. We're coming in at you. Come on, Norton.
Stop where you are or I'll do it. You heard me, I'll jump.
It's much easier to take somebody else's life than it is your own, isn't it?
Come on, get him.
Jack Newton was returned to the state of Texas to stand trial for the murder of Robert Fillmore. He was found guilty and sentenced to life imprisonment. As mentioned earlier, the average American's natural friendliness is an admirable trait and one to be preserved and encouraged. The greatness of our nation is based on friendship. And without it, our rendezvous with destiny would be meaningless. But your FBI asks you to exercise caution, particularly when you feel inclined to give a lift to a hitchhiker. The files of your FBI reveal case after case proving that the safest policy with hitchhikers is to keep right on driving.
The incidents used in tonight's Equitable Life Assurance Society's broadcast are adapted from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. However, all names used are fictitious, and any similarity thereof to the names of persons living or dead is accidental. Tonight, the music was composed and conducted by Frederick Steiner. The author was Frank Ferries, and your narrator was Dean Carlton. This is Your FBI, is a Jerry Devine production. Now, this is Milton Cross speaking for the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States and the Equitable Society's representative in your community, and inviting you to tune in again next week at this same time when the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States will bring you another colorful story from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The Careless Kidnappers on This Is Your FBI.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
And that does it for this hour of Old Time Radio. I'm Jake Longwell. If you have questions or comments, the email address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. And please visit the website, qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.